Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to begin reading with verse 12 and read down through the end of the chapter. Verse 12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if were all one members, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member honoreth, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongue. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." You know, one of the fears and worries that myself and Kenny have talked about, and we have brought up in some of the men's meetings, is that with COVID-19 and with the way we have rescheduled our format and we're only having Sunday morning services, we didn't want people to get used to not having Sunday evening services. And really, at one time, we weren't having Wednesday night services. At one time, we weren't having services at all. And you don't want people to get complacent and not want to be in the house of God or want to be at church. But before COVID-19, folks, that was still a concern, it seems like, in our country. People seem to not have as much emphasis on being a church member anymore. There's not as much importance to people on whether they belong to a church or not. That used to not be the case. But what has changed? Christ established a church in Scriptures. You can easily read that. You can easily see that in the Bible, that Christ established a local church. And he also intends for those that are saved to be baptized into a church and be a part of a church. So why is it today that people feel empathetic or apathetic, I should say, in they don't care one way or another whether they belong to a church or not? Well, part of it is people feel like they can be as spiritual as they could be in their own home listening to a sermon on TV or on the radio as they could if they attended church. The majority of people that say that usually don't do that either, by the way. There is an importance to being a part of one of Christ's churches. And the title of the message this morning is simply, We Are the Body. We are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this morning we're going to cover each of those verses that we just read. And I know that seems like a lot, and it will take a little bit of time. But we're going to look at these verses and these sections of Scripture that tell us that we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we begin, I want to give you the illustration that is first used. Paul sets up an illustration here in verse 12. And when I speak about we are the body, and oftentimes we use this terminology a lot, of the body of Christ, I want you to scratch all that for just a minute. I want you to take the preconceived notions of what that means just for a minute. Because when Paul first introduces this idea, he's simply talking about a human body here. Verse 12, he is talking to the church of Corinth, and he's talking about a human body. So let's look at the human body in verse 12. For the human body is one, and it has many members. And all of the members of that one body, being many, are one body. All Paul is saying here is he's setting up this illustration and he's saying, hey, we have one body. And that's pretty common sense, isn't it? We have but one body. Jeremy Shamblin is not made up of many different bodies, but there's one body. You have one body. But a part of that body, there are many different members or appendages or organs or parts, whatever you want to say. We have our hands, we have our feet, we have our head, we have our eyes, our nose, our ears, our mouth, our knees, whatever you want to say. We have many different parts of our body. But it is what? One body. Now that's important for you to know, because the whole message and Paul's whole writings here found in the rest of this chapter are based off of that one premise that you have but one body with many different parts in that body. And then he says at the end of verse 12 what? So also is Christ's. We have a body, but you know what? Christ also has a body. It's called His church. And His churches that He has are all bodies. And Christ's body is also one body made up of many different parts, members to that body. This morning, we are going to look at the diversity of the body. We're going to look at the design of the body, the importance of the body, the unity of the body, and the gifts of the body. Now, that seems like a lot to break off this morning. But we're going to go one by one. And we're going to start by looking at the diversity of the body. Notice verse 13. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So now we're talking about Christ's body. And when it comes to Christ's body of His church, it says that by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. Now people will like to use this, some will like to use this to try to teach the universal church theory, that it is by one Spirit that we are all a part of one body of Christ. We are all brought to Him. We are all baptized into the Spirit of, by the Spirit of God, into the church of Christ. I don't think that's what he's talking about here at all. He's talking to Corinth. He's telling Corinth, hey, you are a body. And by one Spirit, you have been baptized into this body. The idea is not this baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is water baptism that he's talking about. And what he's saying here is this. The same Spirit of God that led me to be a part of this church also is the same Spirit of God that led you to be a part of this church. If you were baptized at Storms Creek Missionary Baptist Church, then the Spirit of God led you to be baptized to be a part of this church. And that's what it's saying here. For one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. It's not like we all came here. The idea of this verse is, it's not like we all came here by different methods. We are all a member of this church because the Spirit of God had led us to this church. Whether it been by baptism, which is the means of being a member of a church, or if someone was baptized somewhere else and became a part of this church, like me, for instance, it's still the Spirit of God that led me here. So, we are baptized into the church. Now notice the diversity here, verse 13. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one Spirit. The idea here is that there is a diversity in the body. You know, we make up our church, which we are having two services now, but if we have one service, we could see our diversity a lot more. There are people that live in different areas than what we may live at. There are people that have different interests than what we have. You think about it. There's three states that are involved in people that are members of our church. There's a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different diversities. But the idea here is this. We're all one body. He says Jew or Gentile, bond and free. And it's interesting that he mentions those two specifically because he mentions this again, Paul does, in the book of Galatians. In the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, he says, neither is there Jew nor Greek, neither is there bond nor free, neither is there male nor female, for ye are all one in Jesus Christ. The fact of the matter is, in Christ, our salvation, doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. Doesn't matter what your race is. Doesn't matter what your class structure is. In Christ, we are all His. Amen. But you know what? That is as true in Galatians chapter 3 in regards to our salvation. But it's also as true in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when it comes to the church. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter how much money you had or if you don't have any money, if you were born into wealth or poverty. Doesn't matter what your race is. Doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. Doesn't matter what your background is. The Holy Spirit of God can cause us to all be one in this body. So there is a diversity in the body of Christ. There is a diversity in the church. And now we see the design of the body. Notice verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were the hearing, where were the smelling? You have an example of the design of the body, especially here in verse 17. The idea is each piece has its own part. Our bodies are designed to do different things. We work with our hands, we do things with our hands, but the first example given here is one of jealousy. And we'll talk about that here in a second. But notice verse 15, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it really not of the body? And the idea here is, can you imagine, because we may be sitting at a desk or something. Imagine yourself sitting at a computer or at a desk or working with your hands. And you're sitting down. And your feet start to become jealous of your hands. And start to say, they're doing all the work, I'm not doing anything. And then 5 o'clock hits or whatever, and you are ready to get up from your desk and you're ready to go home. But you can't, because why? Your feet decided that they didn't want to be part of that body anymore because they didn't feel important. Do you need your feet to get up and walk away? Absolutely. At that point, they seem to be more essential than your hands, don't they? Because you don't want to kind of get up, I guess, and handstand it out of your office. The idea here is the example given is at the very outset shows the feet being jealous of the hands because they feel like they're less useful. Jealousy can kill a church. Jealousy will absolutely kill a church. And it's silly, and as ridiculous as it seems for the feet to be jealous of the hands, or for the eyes to be jealous of the, or the ears to be jealous of the eyes, which are the examples given here, as ridiculous as that seems, Paul is saying that's how we are when we are jealous of another member of our church for accomplishing something. It starts out, when he's talking about the design of the body, he starts out by dealing with a cry of jealousy from one body part to the other. But this is a warning to us. It can kill a church when people get jealous of things. And that happens. And it can happen here. The book of James chapter 3, if you will, turn there with me. The book of James chapter 3 talks about jealousy. And it says in verse 14, "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts," that's jealousy, folks. "If you have this in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where there is envying and strife, is there is confusion and every evil work." Don't let yourself be jealous of something someone else accomplishes in this church, because it comes straight from Satan when that happens. When I think of this, I think of, and I'm going to mess this up because I can't remember which is which. But you remember that passage that says, I think it's Apollos watered, or I watered, Apollos, I planted, Apollos watered, and what? God gave the increase. It doesn't matter who does the work. It doesn't matter who gets the applause. It doesn't matter who gets the pat on the back and says, "That a boy." None of that matters. What matters is that God gets glory. And you can do something and it goes unrecognized. And I could do something and it might go recognized. Don't be jealous of one another. We're all on the same team. And it doesn't matter who gets credit for anything, as long as we give God the credit for all things. So, he starts out by talking about this jealousy. But then you see the design of the body here. When in verse 17 it says, "If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the smelling be?" Because what he's saying here is each part of the body has its own purpose, has its own function. And it all boils down to verse 18. "But God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him." Why are you a member of this church? You can ask yourself that question and answer honestly in your mind. Why are you a member of this church? Is it because it's close to your house? It's convenient for me, I will say that. That shouldn't be the reason. Is it because you were born into this church and you grew up and were raised in this church? Is that why you're a member here? That may be what started you here, but I hope that's not what keeps you here. Is it because... I used this joke this morning. I couldn't do it today because John led the singing. Is it because of the music we have in this church? This morning, no one would have said yes for that. But I will say, Kenny and I have both mentioned from the pulpit, you can go to other churches and folks, people don't sing like they do here. And so it's a blessing to be a part of a church that lifts their voices, that have people like John and have people like Brenda that have musical talent and is able to lead the singing. Have special singers like Larry and Rachel and Chris that are able to stand up before us and Jen and to sing to God. Those are wonderful things within the church. Amen. Blessings. But I hope that's not the reason you're a part of this church. What about the preachers? There we go. We know that's not the reason that you're part of this church. Whether it be Brother Kenny or myself, this church has been truly blessed to have Pastor Jim Orrick for all those years, and then to carry on to Pastor Kenny right after that, for all of those years to have two pastors. That's saying something. You're blessed, and you need to thank God for that, because that's not the norm. I can tell you that. But as much as we appreciate that, and we should, I'll use a high number for you, Kenny, here. I did that this morning, too. But in 30 years, Kenny probably won't be pastoring this church. Might be, I don't know. 40 for sure, he's not doing it. But in 30 years, he won't be pastoring this church. What are you going to do then? See, preachers come and preachers go. That should not be the reason why you're a member of this church. It's nice to have someone that is easy to listen to, but that shouldn't be the reason you're a member of the church. What about doctrine? There we go. I will say this. I would not want to be a part of a church that didn't believe certain things. I will say that. And I understand you for that. But listen and hear me out when I say this. Doctrine should not be the reason why you're a member of the church. Now, you say, what? The only right answer of whether you should be a member of a church is found in verse 18. And it is, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him." The fact of the matter is, the only correct answer for you to be a member of the church is this where God wants you to be? Did God place you in this church? And you say, well, what about doctrine? Let's go back to that for a second. Why isn't doctrine a reason? Well, read the book of 1 Corinthians. There's some things that were going on in the book of Corinth that probably you wouldn't want to be a part of that church if you were in there. But yet God placed people in that church to be a part of it. There are stories, and I got some confirmation from some older members this morning, but there are stories I've heard about Storms Creek back a long time ago, before Jim and during the early parts of when Brother Jim was here, that they did things that we wouldn't do today. But you know what? God led people into this church, sometimes even to go about to change the doctrine in the church. That's why I say doctrine is not the reason you're a member of the church. Because sometimes when a church will go through a change and someone has been there for years and the church may start to teach a false doctrine, God will keep some of His people in that church sometimes to bring about a restoration or a change back to that, or to change the doctrine in general. The fact of the matter is, the only reason we should be a part of this church is because God has led us to be a part of the church. God has placed us here. And do you feel that? I feel like this is exactly where God wants me to be and has placed me here. Do you feel that way? And if you don't, you need to pray about whether you should be a member of this church or not, or if God wants you to be somewhere else. Now, let's look at the importance of the body as we begin to wind down. Verses 21 through 24. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have become more abundant comeliness. Now, I'm going to read verse 22. Well, before I do this, we just mentioned there are a lot of parts of our human body that get attention. Our hands get attention, right? Our mind. We think of our brain, our mind. We think of the hands. We think of our feet and our legs that walk. How often do we think of our spleen? How often do we think of our kidneys? Sometimes we'll think about our heart, but really we don't oftentimes dwell, oh, I wonder if my heart's still beating or not. The idea, folks, is this. There are parts of our body that may not be outwardly, I guess, shown, but are vital. And that's the way it is with the Lord's church. It's easy for Kenny to get recognition. He's up before you every Sunday and every Wednesday. It's easy for me to get recognition. I'm up in front of you. But that doesn't mean that we're any more important than anyone else that is in this church. Verse 22, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. I want you to understand, if you were led of the Spirit of God, if God has placed you in this church, what verse 18 says, if you are a member of Storms Creek Missionary Baptist Church because God has put you here, then I want you to understand, you are necessary. Amen. Not optional, but vital. You are essential for this church to work and function the way that it should. Each part has a purpose. But then he talks about the honor. Those members of the body which we think less honorable, we bestow more abundant honor. So sometimes when you're feeling insignificant, when you feel unnecessary or unimportant, I want you to realize this, that those which seem more feeble are necessary, and those which seem less honorable will be bestowed with more abundant honor. That should encourage you. Now, the unity of the body as we close. Verses 25 through 27. Now there should be no schism in the body. You know what that word schism means? It means a division. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffereth, all the members suffer with it. And whether one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. You ever had a toothache? You can have a toothache, and where is the source of your pain coming from? The tooth. You feel like going to work that day when you got a toothache? No. You feel like going, and Joe likes to run. If you're having a horrible toothache, you feel like running a couple miles? You get a toothache, your head starts to hurt. You get fatigued, your whole body begins to hurt. That one little tooth can cause so much pain throughout your body. You ever have an ear infection, inner ear infection? What happens? Where's the source of your pain? It's coming from your ear. But what happens? Your head gets disoriented. Your stomach gets nauseous. Maybe you begin to throw up. You can't do what? You can't walk. You can't keep your balance. One little part is causing the whole thing to fall apart. As is Christ's.
We are a body. And God doesn't want us to have a schism in the body. There shouldn't be any kind of dysfunction or division in the body. Whether it be jealousy, whether it be anger, whatever. We need our body to function together. And the idea of this is just like when that inner ear infection causes your whole body to fall apart. When one of us suffers, all of us should be suffering. Amen. When one of us is heartbroken, all of us need to be heartbroken. But the opposite as well. When something good happens to you, Jeremy, that should be something that good has happened to all of us. Because we don't have jealousy, anger, division. We love one another. Why? We're one. We're one and we're all seeking the glory of God for the same reason. So when the good things happen to you, we all rejoice. When something bad happens and you're heartbroken, we all suffer. That's the way it's intended to be. That's the unity of the church. And then lastly, the gifts of the body. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and miracles, gifts, healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. But then he asks a question. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The idea is this. Again, with the recognition thing that we talked about. We're not all called to be teachers. We're not all called to be preachers. We're not all called to help lead the music. Some of these gifts have fallen away. I want you to realize that. But the teaching has not fallen away. The specific examples of healing and of miracles and of tongues, they have ceased because the Word of God is completed. But this teaching is far from over. The same is applied. We're not all teachers. We're not all deacons. We're not all Sunday school teachers. We're not all preachers. We're not all music leaders. But you know what? We're all placed here by God. And we all have a key function. And none of those things that I listed, none of them, is any more important than what your function is as you're called in this church. We all are called for a purpose and for a reason. If we were all teachers, we'd all be teaching our separate classes to ourselves. We are one. We're different. To summarize the whole passage, the body of Christ in our church, the body is different. It's made up of many different backgrounds, diversities, many different things. But guess what? We're all one. The design of the body. There's functions that we each have that are different. We're not all teachers. We're not all the hand. We each have a purpose that's important. We are essential. We are necessary. And we all are unified. And when one is rejoicing, we're rejoicing. When one is sad, we are sad. And we all have been called for a purpose with gifts. I don't know what your gift is. Some people, I know what your gift is, but I don't necessarily know what all your gifts are. But you need to pray about that. And I'm just going to end the sermon with this. We are the body, and I will end by saying, if you pray to God, and you use the gifts that God has given you for the purposes He has given you within this church, then that's the only way our church will function the way that it should. Because you are necessary. As necessary as anyone else in this church.